We turn again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I want to look at these two verses here that accompany this wonderful miracle of the raising of Jairus' daughter, found here in verses 52 and 53. And here we see the Lord Jesus approaching the house, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They didn't take him seriously as he comes to the house. Of course, he had come to do something spectacular, and they should have understood something of that. These people knew the Saviour by now. They knew some of the things that he had done. But as he comes to the house, and of course she is dead, the Lord uses this expression, she's sleeping, because he knew what he was going to do. But of course they laugh him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Well, I want us to think for a few moments here this evening about taking Christ seriously. Taking the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. What he says, what he has done, what we read of in the Bible, do we take it seriously? Well, now, of course, famously, one sportsman years ago was in a real state as he was on the tennis court, and said those famous words, "You cannot be serious." Well, of course, we understand, and it's very humorous at the time, and looking back at what happened at that time. But, friends, we ask the question of many today, can't you be serious? Can't you be serious for a moment, for a while, about eternal matters, about serious matters? Oh, friends, nothing could be more serious than our soul state. Nothing could be more serious than the need of salvation. But oh, we do not take Christ seriously. We do not take his word seriously. Well, of course, there are times in life when things come to us that we are serious about. For some, of course, our studies. They're serious. We've got to get through them. We've got to pass our examinations. Things happen in life, usually when we're young, those sort of things. But we take them seriously. Of course, we take our family seriously. Of course we should. And of most of us, of course, that is a serious thing. And we've got to get on in life. We've got to get through life. It is a serious matter. Well, in those areas, of course, we understand that we need to be serious. But, of course, we live in a day when so little really is taken seriously. We have no war, we have no want really, not in our land, no real disease, except we have a fright just lately that I might mention again later. There's no real danger. Well, who of us really has to engage in hard work? Well, some of our medical friends have long hours and things like that, but most of us, we have really not to engage in any hard labour of any sort. So little to be serious about. There's so many things that we're just frivolous about, that we laugh about. A song, or an item of clothing, or some sport, or a pet. Really, these things really have very little significance when it comes to eternity, but we can be very frivolous about these things, but we're not very serious about much at all. Sometimes we think that being serious is sometimes really just for the young, and we think they should be more serious, but they're not. And then we think to ourselves that as we get older, we become more serious about things, more sad things enter into our lives, more responsibilities come our way, and we can't be silly for too long, or at least we find ourselves on occasion to be serious. But even so, a perusal of how we live our lives, the sort of thing that we look at on the television, perhaps what we read, is there anything solid about us? Anything really serious that we give our attention to just now? As I say, as we get older, sometimes fear increases, fear for ourselves, our health, our future, perhaps finances, fear for our loved ones, what will happen to them. But how often do we find ourselves in a serious frame of mind? And if we do, isn't it soon, very often, pushed away? It is, of course, an amazing thing that even serious news on the television a moment has us gasping. So many have been killed, so many are dying, this catastrophe, that disaster. But then how soon is it out of sight and out of mind? And we're engaged in something that must seem so trivial compared to what we have been told is happening in another part of the world. I remember being in an office in Kent some years ago when we just began to hear of those planes crashing into the Twin Towers in New York. Well, within just a few minutes of hearing such news, two of the young men were joking about it and making a laugh. I don't think they realised how serious it was. By the end of the day, everyone's attention was upon the television. We couldn't wait to get home to follow the news and see what was happening. It seemed so awful. Everyone was serious for a moment. But even then, within a few days, there were jokes about it and people were being frivolous about even such an awful thing such as that. Well, of course, we live in an age when it is just possible to never be serious, at least for some. Well, the health of our nation, well, it's never been better, really. There was a time when disease would carry off thousands in a few days. And perhaps we're even seeing a little hint of seriousness coming into the thoughts of people as they think of what's going on in China and Italy and other places and just beginning to creep into our family. Perhaps at last there's a hint of seriousness in our British nation even today. But generally, these things are really out of mind. We can't be bothered with these things. We want to enjoy ourselves. Well, we have never been so wealthy. That is the case. Even the poorest amongst us, we're far wealthier than the average person in, say, Victorian days. Well, there was a time when most people had to work hard 16 hours a day just to buy some fatty ham and a loaf of bread. And if there was no work, then you didn't eat. People were serious then. They were serious. We live in times of such relative peace, at least in our land. But there was a time when war carried off thousands of our countrymen, not just soldiers and airmen, but of course even in our towns that were being bombed. People could be serious then. Our children, the children of our country, are generally healthy and happy and well educated and safe. But there was a time when children and our grandchildren in the family, well, they would die regularly. In years gone by, that was not an unusual happening. Children would die on a regular basis of illness and hunger. Well, people were serious then. Life was serious. Death was serious. Very little was frivolous. So few things to laugh at and to be happy about. But what an age we live in. What an age now. An age of comedians, an age of films about frivolous subjects, newspapers full of stories of the ridiculous, an age where most people in their eyes, well, it's the footballers that we've got to take seriously and the soap stars, far more important than prime ministers and army generals, and even now they are not taken seriously. Now, I think anyone that knows me knows that I'm not the most grumpy person that you could come across, but life is wretched without some fun and some humour and genuine happiness. But friends, can we ever be serious? Ever be serious for a moment? Serious for a time about something important? Surely. Surely we ought to at least sometimes be serious about our God. We ought to be serious about our soul's need. Surely we need to be serious about that great sin problem that we have in all of our lives. Surely we ought to be serious for a while about the great message found in the Bible concerning salvation. I think you know that we should. And thankfully we are. But how long does it last? It's so easily pushed out. Much lesser considerations flow into our time and our thinking. But that could be tragic. It could turn out to be habitual, that we're never serious about spiritual and eternal matters, like these mourners at the house of Jairus, so that even in the midst of life and death, when the Saviour oh so seriously told them to hold off for just a while, with the obvious intention of doing something so, so important and so vital and life-giving, well, the Bible tells us that God in mercy would raise us from our spiritual deadness and give us new and spiritual life. And what response do we find in our hearts to such things? Why, we are so habitually not serious that we think it's just a joke sometimes. And if not, then a dream. Some pie in the sky when you die. This talk of salvation. We cannot take it seriously. We have to say that this is just a story that we've read here tonight. Perhaps for children it's nice, but is it true? Is it true? And anyway, what's it got to do with me in my life 2,000 years after these things happen? And is it not always the case? Well, if it's not, then so often it can be that we hear these things and then we dismiss them fairly lightly, not taking them seriously, not mulling them over in our mind, not taking them with us through the week and thinking, I must take this seriously. What that pastor was speaking of last Sunday night. Well, if nothing else, let us make us serious for just a short while here tonight. Let this episode make us think seriously. And what about Christ? Not so much to do with Christianity, if you like, here tonight, but Christ himself. Taking Christ seriously. People do not take him seriously. Look here in verse 53. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. They couldn't take him seriously when he had come to this home with the obvious intent of doing something amazing and spectacular. He was the ridicule. It was very outward and real. But of course, for us, we can have a little ridicule inside. We may not express it, but we may think in many ways, because we don't take it seriously, that in a way, well, is it real? Can it be trusted? Can we believe these things? Sometimes, of course, others are hostile or less so. But here in verse 49, we see here that there is an acknowledgement of trouble. An acknowledgement, yes, well, thy daughter is dead. But what's the reaction? But he can't help. He can't do anything. Trouble not the master. Don't worry him now. Things have gone too far. And so you see here, even in the midst of trouble, the worst kind of trouble, here are people that do not take Christ seriously. Well, isn't that just it? Even in our best moments, we can easily see that all is not right with us. Sinful habit has spoilt things for us. True happiness evades us. We can never seem to grasp it. It always escapes us. Life hardly ever brings real satisfaction. And as we get older and life seems to dwindle away, we fear that we have nothing at all to say to God that we shall stand before one day. We all acknowledge our shortcomings and sadness and fear and trouble, but we will not trouble the master about it. We will not take him seriously, as if to think that he could do anything about it. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see the beauty of this scripture? This has us down to a T. This is exactly, here's all my trouble. Well, I'm not going to trouble the master with it. I can't take it seriously that he can do anything for my soul, for my life. We will not take him seriously. We will not take his word seriously, so that we begin to believe his word and seek his help. We throw up our hands like these men that came from Jairus' house and say, well, she's dead now, don't trouble the master, there's nothing else that can be done. And say, well, what's the use, we say, what's the use? It's all so hopeless, my life. Well, friends, that's tragic. That's tragic in the light of what we have here in our Bibles, not just in this verse, but in all the scriptures, as we see what the Lord can do. But, oh friends, so often, as soon as we start speaking of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do, how he has done this and how he has done that, for many, it's the great turn-off. We say, oh, I'm not going to trouble myself with this one, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, here we see him doing a grand miracle. The woman is healed. No one can really see that. Only those that really knew that woman, that had a flow of blood inside her. Oh, that was a wretched thing. She's healed, and perhaps from the outward, people hardly noticed. But here, he's going to raise this young maiden from the dead. It's going to be spectacular. And are they going to see it? And are they going to understand something of the miracle working power of the Lord? But just as then and now, well, as soon as we bring the miraculous, the supernatural into our thinking, it's the great turn off. The great turn off. People say, I can't believe this. I can't believe it happened. I don't see any miracles today in this world. I don't see people raised from the dead. I don't see people with great illness being cured in a miraculous way without any medical help. Oh, friends, that's us saying, I'm not going to trouble this master. I'm not going to trouble Christ. I'm not going to take him seriously. That's what we are doing. But if God is real, then certainly there must be miracle. Of course, it goes hand in hand. If you turn away from the supernatural, if you forget that there can be anything supernatural, then you're an atheist. You can't believe in God. But as soon as you truly believe in the God of the miraculous, the God who made this world, the God who was this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, come into the world, then of course miracles are no problem. Theologically, reasonably, in every way. Of course, if Christ is God, of course we would expect him to do such a thing. Christ comes into the world and we ask, how do we know that he is God? Where's the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is God? Well, it's obvious. It's obvious. And this incident here is no problem to believers that know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that he should raise the dead. Of course, that was what we would expect. He gives proof of his divinity. But we ask a question. Why will we not take Christ seriously? Why is it? Why is that so? Well, there are a number of reasons, and this is really what I want to put to you tonight very briefly. And the first thing is this. The first thing is because we think we know better. We don't take Christ seriously because, of course, we know better. Do you see that in our text, verse 53? And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They knew something, or they thought they knew something. But you see, they knew better than him. That's what is going on here. That's why they didn't take Christ seriously. They knew something better than him. It's amazing. Amazing how things outside of our experience, we so often believe without any compunction at all, without any trouble. We believe that atoms can be split and you get an enormous burst of energy, as in an atom bomb. Oh, friends, we believe these things. We've seen the historical evidence of such things. But what do we know? What do we know about atoms? What do we know about atoms being split? We don't know anything about these things. We don't know anything. And yet we take all this in. We believe such things. Oh, friends, so many things to do with physical chemistry and biology and in history. We lap it all up. We say, well, I know this and I know that and I want to know a bit more. And we lap it up from our television screens or our books and we say, I believe this and I believe that. Well, we don't actually say that, but we do. We believe it all. Yet here is a curious thing. Spiritual things are so outside of our immediate experience. But instead of saying to ourselves, oh, I'll believe this, I'll accept it. The Bible says such a thing. Here are people like Mr. Baker and others, far more intelligent than him, far more knowledgeable than him. And they come to me and they say, this is the truth. This is the truth. But I can't believe that. I can't believe what they tell me. And why can't I believe it? Well, I know better. I know better than him. I know better than this Bible. I know better than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what these people were saying. We know better than him. She's dead. So what does he know? And so they don't take him seriously. Oh, friends, are we in that situation? We think we know better? Now, none of us, of course, would actually say that. Of course not. But every time we dismiss something as untrue in our minds or unbelievable, well, or not worth consideration, then there must be in what we are saying that we are making a judgment. We are making an assessment. We're weighing things up in our minds and hearts. Well, we cannot believe something. And we are saying, I know better. I know better than that. Our experience of life, our knowledge, our education, our personal wisdom, all combined to say, this Christian message, this Saviour, it's really almost approaching ridiculous. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe this gospel, that I should come and trust in this invisible God and in this Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was around 2,000 years ago and died on a cross in the place of sinners like me. It's ridiculous. I can't believe it. I know better. I know better. Life's not got nothing to do with all those sort of things. And so Christ is not taken seriously. Here's another reason we cannot take Christ seriously. It's because we're in the crowd. We're in the crowd. Well, you read there in verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn. It was a sort of concerted effort, as they all derided him, as they said in this, as they laughed him to school. They were in the crowd. And if there ever is such a thing as a herd instinct, here it is. Well, we are so weak, we will not go out on our own and think for ourselves to take Christ seriously. Often man makes out he's so tough and so independent. He has all his own thoughts and opinions. This is what man thinks of himself. He says he'll make up his own mind, go his own way. But no, at the same time, there are so few that really think any differently to everybody else in this world. So few take Christ seriously. We might think all that people do is their own thing. And so many people will say, I go through life and I did it my way and I'll have it sung at my funeral. Well, friends, nothing could be more ridiculous. Nothing could be further from the truth. Everyone has been moulded into really thinking like everyone else. And because everyone else, the majority of people say, I can't take Christ seriously. I can't take the gospel seriously. I can't believe the Bible. And because that is such a powerful message in the world, most people go along with that. And they don't do anything their way. They do everybody else's way. And follow in the same pathway, the broad way that leads to destruction. We rarely set out on our own. We so seldom go our own way, especially when it comes to the important questions of life and eternity and the claims of the Bible. When someone becoming a Christian is so often, that's on their own. In spite of all others all around them telling them, no, don't take that seriously, don't go in that direction. If anyone is converted, it is by thinking differently to the vast majority of people. Only, maybe the only one in a family perhaps. Well, we cannot take Christ seriously because it will mean thinking for ourselves. And we don't often do that when it comes to our beliefs and our doubts. We just go along with what the majority think. Here's another reason why so many do not take Christ seriously. It's so often because we're preoccupied with present troubles and difficulties when it comes to these things. We cannot even see the solving of them. And so you see there in verse 52, they all wept and bewailed her. This is what was going on at the house. The death of this young lady. Well, there was the noise. Life is a lot of trouble and strife. We're born to trouble, the Bible even says, as the sparks fly upward. We know that there is trouble from the cradle to the grave. It seems that life's story could be told in terms of one trouble after another. But then there's all added to that, all the guilt, all our wretched feelings, even to weep and to bewail, even as these people do on this occasion. Jairus had seen something in the Lord Jesus, and he had gone off and begged him to come and to cure his daughter. Why was that? Well, because he believed that the Lord Jesus could help him. But these others, well, there was no thought of that, no thought that anything could be done. And you might say, well, you couldn't blame them for that. The girl was dead. But friends, this was Capernaum. Don't you know that a short while before, one evening, the whole town was gathered at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone brought their sick. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, the demon-possessed, everyone was brought, and he healed them all. Not one was missed. Not one that came went away still afflicted. Not one with a taint or a hint of incapacity. All were completely cured. That's why Jairus came. That's why Jairus set out to find the Lord Jesus when his daughter fell sick. As soon as Christ arrived at this house, there should have been tremendous expectation. Why had he come if he couldn't do anything? Why would he even bother to come to this house of mourning if it were not so to come and to display once again his wonder-working power? At the very least, they should have been serious. They should have been serious and full of wonder. But no, they're weeping and they're wailing. And they're so full of this trouble that they can't think that anything can be done. And they can't believe for one moment that the Lord Jesus Christ can do anything. They didn't take Christ seriously. Or they failed to see that in their midst they had a mighty miracle worker. Oh, friends, is that our case? Life is so hard, so difficult, so full of sadness and grief, so many fears, so full of trouble, that we cannot take our eyes off the trouble just for a moment to see the very one that can help us. And so we don't take him seriously. Can we not see him? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, God coming to this world, taking upon himself a human soul and body that he might save us by his life and by his death on the cross. Can we not take him seriously? Has he not done so much good in the past to many others that we even know? Can't we take him seriously? Why are our eyes on all our troubles when these are the very things that the Lord can help us with? And here's something else. Again, we do not take Christ seriously because we cannot see that things can be any different. Why, I keep turning to this, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. We're not going to take Christ seriously, they say and they feel and they think here at the moment, because they just couldn't see any possibility of anything being any different from the fact that the child was dead. Almost soon we're going to take her out and bury her, that's the end of it. Nothing else can be done. So they don't take Christ seriously. We cannot see how we can be truly happy and fulfilled and satisfied. We cannot see how real fulfillment spiritually can come to our souls. We cannot see how we could actually be good. We cannot see that we could be real followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just could not be. We couldn't think of it. And so we do not take Christ seriously. Oh, so many have thought that. But then that is one of the greatest surprises of the Christian life. That it is possible, that God makes it possible, that the changed life, the converted life, is just so full of surprises, in that the new Christian finds he is given amazing power to live truly as to please God, to worship from the heart, to pray, to even, could it be possible, to tell others of how the Lord has helped them and saved them. No one said the Christian life is ordinary. It's spectacular, beyond anything that we could think possibly now. But don't make that a reason to not take Christ seriously, but believe what he says. The difference is as great as being dead and coming alive. That's what this is all about. And spiritually, that is so true. That is what Christian conversion is. We cannot see that things can be so different, but old friends, we urge upon you the fact that things can be absolutely different, that we can be new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I quickly come to one or two more things. Why do we take Christ seriously? Do we really know why we do not take Christ seriously? It's because we just do not know what he is capable of. We see it here, verse 54, he put them all out. And he took this girl by the hand, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded them to give her something to eat. And the parents were astonished. They were astonished. I can imagine they were shaking with happiness and with astonishment at what had happened. Do you know what he can do? Do you know that he can convert your soul? Do you know he can change your life completely? That's what he came for. That's why he did this miracle. Well, that was a little thing, can I say, for the Lord Jesus Christ, but far greater is what he can do for our souls as he comes and dies on the cross in agony, in the place of sinners like us, bearing the curse that we deserve to bear for all eternity in hell. He comes and he gives his life for our life. He gives himself in death upon the cross, the very death that we deserve to die for all eternity. Oh, friends, this is what Christ can do, and that by repentance and trust in him and yielding up our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ to be his, entrusting our very souls to him, we can know what it is to be converted and changed and be heaven bound. We just don't realise. We just do not realise what Christ is capable of in our lives. So we do not take Christ seriously. Well, what is it that does make people take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously? Sometimes it's desperate need. We see that in this account there in verse 41 of this chapter. There came a man, Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, for he had only one daughter, 12 years of age, about to die. And oh, friends, do you see that? In verse 49, well, while he yet spake, there come one and said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Friends, often that's the case. Desperate need will make us take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. Is that what it will take for us? It might not happen. Sometimes it's because you see there is really very little else to be serious about. Here, verse 41, Jairus had plenty to be serious about. Well, we know that before his daughter fell ill, we can imagine that Jairus was serious about all sorts of things. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He had a prominent place in society there in Capernaum, this very large town. And we can imagine he took his family serious, his business serious, his religion serious. But here, he becomes ultra serious. His daughter's about to die, and then he's told she's dead. Well, nothing else is in his mind. Nothing else takes his attention now. Nothing else but Christ. He takes him absolutely seriously, as the Lord said, only believe. Only believe and she shall live. And this is what he takes seriously at this time. Sometimes you cannot say why someone took Christ seriously. They just keep coming to hear the word of God, and then all of a sudden it dawns on them that they ought to take it seriously, and they come to the Saviour and know his blessing. But you need to keep your interest up. But that is the work of God. It always is. Sometimes the last thing we want is an interest in Christ. Will we not see that the Lord Jesus Christ can save our souls and bring us the glory and change everything for us even now? Sometimes there's something deep down. It keeps nagging away. We're not really serious about these things. But then a little prayer creeps into the heart. And we begin to say, Lord, I want to be serious about this thing. This is, I see now, the most serious thing that I need to consider. And sometimes that becomes so strong, and then it is granted. It becomes the most serious thing in our lives. What will happen? What will happen if you begin to take the Lord Jesus Christ seriously? You'll begin to seek him. You'll begin to pray and say, Lord, show yourself to me in a spiritual way. You'll begin to say, come, Lord, come and change my life. Lord, come and deal with my wretched sin. I'm so sorry for it. I feel so wretched. I want to turn from it. I want to be thine. This is what happens to someone who takes Christ seriously. And they begin to look into the Bible. They begin to come to church to see what it means. They begin to ask questions as to what these things mean. And they're not put off. And they're repentant. And they trust in the Saviour, and they receive true life, everlasting life. Oh, friends, that's what happens to someone who takes Christ seriously. Will you not do that tonight? Will you not take the Saviour seriously? So many things keep us from that. So many things make us have so much more interest in so many trivial things in life, or even the important things of life. But this is the most important thing. Oh, I urge you, friends, come to the Saviour. Cry out to him in your heart and know his blessing. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, when we come to thee, we regret and we repent all those times, Lord, when we haven't really taken this thing as so serious. But now we come. We ask, Lord, that thou bless us. Help us. Make this to become the big thing in our life and draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can grant us salvation. We ask it for his sake. Amen.